Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 34, beginning with verse 29. If you'd like to join in your own Bible or a pew Bible, Exodus 34, beginning with verse 29. And before we read God's word this morning, let's once again go to him in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. We pray this morning, Father, that as we read your word, as we hear your word, we pray that by your Spirit you would pierce us to the heart, to the soul. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus 34, beginning with verse 29. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the people of Israel what he was commanded, the people of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shining. And Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went in to speak with them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading is from the book of Acts. As we continue our study, we are working our way through the book of Acts. We are now in Acts 6, verse 8. We're going to be finishing the sixth chapter today of the book of Acts. Acts 6, beginning with verse 8. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians and of the Alexandrians and of those from Cilicia and Asia rose up and disputed with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Then they secretly instigated men who said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes. And they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council. And they set up false witnesses who said, "This man never ceases to speak words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us." And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, he was a Hellenist. He was a Greek-speaking Jew. Either he was born outside of Israel or his family originated outside of Israel. His dress was Greek and his manners were Greek and his name was Greek. Stephen. Stephen was a Hellenist, a Greek-speaking Jew who had come to believe in Jesus, to believe that Jesus was the promised Messiah, the Christ, God made man, who had come to overcome sin, who had come to conquer death, who had come to defeat Satan. And Stephen believed that through the death and resurrection of Jesus, forgiveness can be found, and life can be found, and reconciliation can be found. He had heard this message, Stephen had heard this message, through the preaching of the apostles, the preaching of those who had been with Jesus during his ministry, the preaching of those who had been with Jesus after he rose from the dead, the 12 apostles, Peter and Andrew and James and John and Matthew and the others. Now, not only was Stephen a follower of Jesus, he was also a deacon. Stephen was a deacon. Now, besides the apostles, deacon was the very first office of the church. Deacon is from the Greek word that means serve. It's from a Greek word that means service. Deacon is primarily an office of service. And the initial need for the deacon, the initial calling of the deacon, which we looked at last week, was to serve widows, to care for widows, to ensure that the widows in the church, the widows among God's people, had food and shelter and clothing. So Stephen was one of seven deacons who were called by God, who were set apart for this office by prayer and laying on of hands. But our passage today shows that Stephen was doing more than serving as a deacon. He was doing more than just taking care of widows. And listen to verse 8 again. This is verse 8 again. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Stephen was full of grace. Stephen was full of power. He was full of the grace of God and the power of God. And we're told that he was doing wonders and signs, great wonders and signs. In other words, miracles. Miracles that were signs. Miracles that pointed to Jesus, that pointed to the grace of Jesus, that pointed to the power of Jesus. Well, Stephen was also preaching and teaching. He was preaching and teaching about Jesus, pointing to the grace of Jesus, pointing to the power of Jesus through his message. And God was working through the ministry of Stephen. The church was growing. More and more people were coming to faith. And opposition arose. Opposition arose. Now, this has, and it always will happen. It has, and it always will happen. When the Holy Spirit is on the move, when the preaching of the gospel is fruitful, when Jesus Christ is exalted, when the church is growing, opposition will arise. Opposition will arise. The evil one will roar. The evil one will rage. The evil one will rise up to oppose. Now, for example, on kind of a more global scale, in the past couple of decades, more Muslims have come to faith in Jesus Christ than ever before. And ever before as in since the 7th century when Islam started. So we can see in how Muslims are coming to faith, we can see that the Holy Spirit is on the move, that the preaching of the gospel is fruitful, that Jesus Christ is exalted. Because those who are lost, those who are in chains to a religion of works, are receiving life in Jesus Christ and freedom in Jesus Christ. And the evil one has roared and raged and risen up in opposition. And we've seen some of it in the rise of brutally violent groups like ISIS. But it can happen anywhere. Opposition to the gospel can happen anywhere. It can happen here. It can happen in this church. Now, hopefully not in the form of brutally violent groups here in this church. But it can happen here with discontent or dissatisfaction or anger or conflict, and usually it stems over something inconsequential. But it can also happen, not only can it happen in the church among us as God's people, but it can also happen in your life. It can happen in your own heart. When you are growing in your faith, when the gospel is fruitful in your life, when the Holy Spirit is transforming your heart and opening your eyes, the evil one will roar and rage and rise up in opposition against you, usually attacking your weakness. Whether that weakness is greed, Whether that weakness is anger, whether that weakness is lust or pride or selfishness, the evil one will rise in opposition and tempt you to sin. Well, Stephen's ministry, as we see in our passage, Stephen's ministry, the Spirit was fruitful through Stephen's ministry, and his ministry provoked a reaction. His ministry provoked a strong opposition. And this time, it was not the religious leaders. Not the religious leaders at first. Already in the book of Acts, as we've studied the book of Acts, already in the book of Acts, we've seen that the church has been opposed, that the gospel has been opposed, that the apostles were threatened, that they were persecuted by the Jewish religious leaders, by those who were in power, by those who had authority, namely the elders and the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and even the high priest. Well, Stephen wasn't opposed by these leaders as the apostles were. Stephen was opposed by the people on the street. He was opposed by regular Jews, those who did not have any official position, those who had no authority. We're told that Stephen was opposed by members of the synagogue of the freedmen. Members of the synagogue of the freedmen. Now you know that a synagogue is a place of worship for Jews. It's a place of prayer, and it's a place of reading scripture. Now, synagogue worship developed when there was no temple. Synagogue worship developed after the temple of Jerusalem was destroyed in the 6th century. Now, even though the temple was rebuilt, synagogue worship continued. And this particular synagogue in Jerusalem was the place of worship of former slaves. They were freedmen, former slaves. Slaves who had come to Jerusalem for a variety of reasons. Slaves who had come to Jerusalem from Cyrene and Alexandria and Asia, but they were now free. And these freed Jews disputed with Stephen. In other words, they challenged Stephen. They challenged his teaching. They challenged his preaching. They challenged his faith. They debated him. But listen again to verse 10. This is verse 10. Listen again. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. So filled with the Spirit, filled with godly wisdom, filled with knowledge and filled with boldness, Stephen bested them in debate. He prevailed over their arguments. I mean, just imagine being there and seeing it. You're either in the synagogue, more than likely you're in the synagogue, or maybe you're in another public place, and a crowd is gathered to listen. And on the one hand, you have Stephen. You have Stephen using the scriptures, Stephen using the Old Testament to show forth Jesus, that God's promises are fulfilled in Jesus. And on the other hand, you have those who would deny it, those who would attempt to refute him. But we're told that they couldn't withstand him. In an open forum, in an open conversation, they couldn't withstand him. They couldn't withstand his words. They couldn't withstand his argument. They couldn't withstand the Spirit. They couldn't withstand the truth. Now, those against him may have lost the battle. They may have lost the battle, but they did not end the war. They did not stop there. What they did was change tactics. Well, if that didn't work, they'll try another tactic. Since they couldn't best him through argument, since they couldn't best him through reason, since they couldn't best him through debate, they decided to slander Stephen, smear him, speak lies about him. And I know in our modern enlightened world, it's hard to imagine people resorting to such tactics. It happened then, and of course, it happens now. You've seen it in the political arena, day in and day out, maybe hour in and hour out. But not only do we see it in the political arena, maybe it's happened to you. Maybe you've had it happen to you. Whether that was at work, or whether that was at school, or whether that's among your peer group, or maybe it was on social media, where untruths were uttered about you and gleefully passed around. You know how people can get with little tidbits of information like that? It's like they smile, they just want to pass it on. They got it and they want others to know about it. But the whole purpose is to harm you, to harm your name and to harm your reputation. Well, this group from the synagogue of freedmen, in secret, they organized a campaign against Stephen. They instigated some men to say this about Stephen, and this is from verse 10. Listen to this again. "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." That's what they were telling everybody. Hey, we've heard this guy, Stephen, we've heard him speak blasphemous things about God, about Moses. Now, notice in their statement, there are no specifics, just generalities. Hey, we heard him speak words. He spoke words. They don't say what words, and they don't say when, and they don't give any kind of context, but simply attach, they were blasphemous words. And that's all they needed to do. They were blasphemous words. Now, blasphemy was a serious charge. Blasphemy was speaking against God, and the penalty for blasphemy was death. It was death. So this general accusation, hey, he spoke words. Blasphemous word. This general accusation, these lies worked just as they were intended to work because the people became stirred up. We're told that the people became stirred up. They became worked up. They became incited over Stephen. And then once the people became stirred up, the religious leaders became stirred up. They became worked up. They became incited over Stephen. And we're told that scribes and elders, now the leaders get involved, scribes and elders came upon Stephen suddenly, and they seized him, and they took him by force, and they brought him before the council. The council. They brought Stephen before the same group of religious leaders that the apostles had stood before. They brought Stephen before the same group of religious leaders that Jesus had stood before. The powerful and the influential, the wealthy and the prominent, the movers and the shakers in Jerusalem. And as Stephen stood before them, false witnesses rose up and they testified against him. Now, the circulating rumors now took the form of actual witnesses. And listen to their words again. This is verse 14. Listen again to their words. They said, "This man never ceases to speak words against this holy place and the law, for we have heard him say that Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us." Now, the accusation given by these witnesses is extremely serious, extremely deadly serious. Nothing was more sacred to the Jews than the temple and the law. Nothing was more sacred than the temple and the law. The temple was the holy place, the place of worship and sacrifice, the place where prayer was directed, the place where God promised that his name would dwell, where God promised that he would be present. And the law was holy scripture, God's revelation to his people, given to his people for life and for living and for a life pleasing to God. Speaking against the temple and speaking against the law was speaking against God, which was blasphemy, speaking against God. Now, the accusation against Stephen was untrue. The accusation against Stephen was false. The accusation against Stephen was a lie, but Jesus did speak about the temple and the law. And surely, Stephen taught what Jesus spoke about the temple and the law. So what this accusation against Stephen does is twist Jesus' words. And it twists Stephen's teaching. And here's how. When Jesus cleared the temple, when Jesus cleansed the temple, Jesus said this. This is from John chapter 2, verse 19. Jesus said, he cleansed the temple, and Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And everybody who heard Jesus talking thought that he was talking about the actual temple, the building that they were in. And they said, "Hey, Jesus, it's taken 46 years to build this temple. Are you going to build it again in 3 days? But the passage continues with these words. This is John 2:21. "But he was speaking about the temple of his body." He was speaking about the temple of his body. The temple, the building that the Jews worshipped in, pointed to Jesus and was fulfilled in Jesus. Because in Jesus, God is present. In Jesus, God is with us. Jesus is where heaven and earth converge. The temple is no longer needed. The sacrifices are no longer needed because Jesus Christ has come, and he is the temple. Worship is in Jesus and through Jesus. Prayer is made in the name of Jesus. Well, secondly, Jesus said this about the law. And this is from Matthew 5:17. Jesus said, "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." So Jesus didn't come to do away with the law. He didn't come to do away with the customs of Moses, but he came to fulfill them, to complete them. How? By taking the demands of the law upon himself. Now, here's what I mean. And breaking the law is sin. Breaking God's law is sin. Failure to keep God's law is sin. And the punishment for sin is death. And it only takes one. It only takes one. One lie. You've broken God's law. The punishment's death. One desire to have something that your neighbor has. And you've broken God's law. And you deserve death. And that's why the sacrificial system was in place in the Old Testament. God's people could go to the temple and they could offer a lamb, or they could offer a goat, or they could offer a dove for their sins. But this had to be done over and over and over and over again. You had to keep going back to the temple. For every single sin, you had to go back until Jesus. Jesus fulfilled the law. He fulfilled the demands of the law. He fulfilled the requirements of the law. He fulfilled the punishment of the law. On the cross. On the cross, he took your place. On the cross, he was your substitute. On the cross, he took your punishment for sin, death. And he did it once for all. Jesus was the sacrifice for sin, the one that never has to be offered again. And in him and through him, you're no longer under the burden of the law. You're no longer under the punishment of the law. You are under Jesus, and you belong to Jesus. Now, put yourself in Stephen's place. You're standing before the powerful and the influential. You're standing before the wealthy and the prominent. You're standing before the movers and the shakers of Jerusalem. You have had false rumors spread about you. You have had false witnesses testify against you. A very serious charge is laid at your feet, blasphemy, speaking against God. And all you have been doing is speaking for God. But the charge is that you're speaking against God. Put yourself in Stephen's shoes. How would you be at that moment? What would you feel at that moment? Fear? Terror? Maybe anger that you find yourself there and all these lies are spread about you. Maybe confusion. You've been speaking for God and now all these charges against you. As those who were present looked at you, what would they see on your face? What would your face reveal? Well, listen again to the description of Stephen. Listen again to the description of Stephen. And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. And on Stephen's face, there was no fear. There was not terror. There was not anger. There was not confusion in Stephen. We're told that he had the face of an angel, that he was radiant, serene, just like Moses. Our Old Testament reading was from the book of Exodus, and in our passage, Moses had been with God. He'd been up on the mountaintop with God. He'd been receiving the law from God, and when Moses came down from the mountain, his face was shining, radiant, because he had been with God, because he was in the presence of God. He had to put a veil over his face. Man, the people didn't like that. He had to put a veil over his face. Well, Stephen's face shone like Moses because God was with him, because God was present, because God's glory radiated from Stephen. as he stood before the council. Now, this is true for Stephen. It's also true for you. It's true for you individually. It's true for you as God's people, the church. When the evil one roars, when the evil one rages, when the evil one rises up against you, against the church, when lies are spoken or written, when the truth is twisted, when you are rejected, when you feel like you're on trial, when you are alone, when you're tempted, don't let anger take root in your heart. Don't let fear take root in your heart, or worry take root in your heart, or confusion take root in your heart. Why? Because God is with you. God is with you. Just like he was with Stephen. Now, your face may not be shining. You might not need a veil at that moment. But if you follow Jesus Christ, if your faith is in him, then you have the Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit within you. God is with you. God is present. And God is present with his people, the church. He's faithful. In Christ, you belong to him. Cling to him. Rely on him. Trust in him and in his word. Stephen did. And next week, we're going to see Stephen's response in chapter 7. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your word, and we give you thanks for the witness of your servant Stephen. Thank you, Father, that you were present with him. As rumors circulated, you were with him. As false witnesses rose up, you were with him. As he stood on trial, you were with him, Father, present. And we thank you that you're with us. That when the evil one roars and rages and rises up, that you're with your people, you're with the church, that you are with us. And we thank you, Father, that nothing can stop your providential hand. Nothing can stop your gospel being preached for lives to be transformed. Nothing can stop that, Father. Not the evil one, not any human being, nothing. We thank you for that, Father. We pray, Father, that day by day, you would help us to cling to the truth that you are present with us because we belong to you through your Son. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.